morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. We've got visitors from the Mayflower with us this morning, so I know you're excited to hear what they may have to say a little bit later in the service. In your bulletin, you'll see that it's going to be a little bit quieter of a week after we get through today. Today's such an important day. Right as we speak, folks are out shopping for clothes, the children, now. And then as soon as the late service is over, we'll have a congregational meeting right after this service. Is that right, Kurt?
That's right.
And then it'll recess, and we'll open it again at the end of the late service. And then we'll have dessert and soup. And you can put those in any order you want. And then we'll decorate for Advent, the building. So come back. Enjoy the fun this afternoon. But of course, Thursday is Thanksgiving, so I want to wish you an early, wonderful celebration of thanks. And hopefully some of the things that we say this morning will put you in that mood. If you picked it up on the way in, if not, you may want to get it. There's a sheet that will give you the agenda for the congregational meeting. So, and out there is also a copy of the budget. So when it's time, you'll see the budget figures and also those who will be serving on the council in 2023. Is there any information you want to share with one another that hasn't been included in your bulletin? Yeah, but I'm not gonna tell you how many.
Well, then I'm not gonna say happy birthday.
thank you. Yes, I'm looking forward to doing something. My spouse hasn't told me what, and that's okay. I'll only take surprises on my birthday.
Well, maybe you should tell him what you want.
I might. Thank you. It's one of those times of the year that you look forward to, yet you don't want to talk too much about it. Any information you would like to share with one another? If not, then let us share together God's peace. Peace within us, peace over us, let all around us be at peace. And let's stand and sing together our welcoming song, We Gather Together.
We gather together to ask God's blessing, to turn to a wisdom surpassing our own. The powers that oppress us now seek peace to distress us. Oh God, be present with us and make your will known. Beside us to guide us, our God, we perceive you, ordaining, maintaining the power of life. Yes, yours be the glory, let all tell the story. Our God, be ever with us in gladness and strife. May all sing your praises, Redeemer triumphant, Defender befriend us, whatever may be. May your congregation escape tribulation, your name be praised forever, God, make us free.
Let us join together in our invitation to worship. Let us give thanks to the Lord with all our heart. Let us be glad and exult in God. The Lord has established God's throne of justice forever. Those who know God's name put their trust in God because God has not forsaken those who seek God. Amen. Let us continue with our morning prayer in unison. Glorious God, we have tasted and seen that you are good. We've tasted the finest delicacies in the world offer, and they do not compare to you. Your presence satisfies us like nothing else. You give us more and deeper joy than anything else in this world. One day in your courts is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. One moment with you is better than 1,000 lifetimes anywhere else. Please continue to give us more taste of your presence and more glimpses of your glory. Expand our hearts to love you more as you take us deeper into the vast ocean of your love. Your love is better than life itself. Full of gratitude, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 34. I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with God's praise. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. God met me more than halfway and freed me from my anxious fears. Look at God. Give God your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from God. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angel sets up a circle of protection around us while we pray. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to God. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all of God's goodness. Young lions on the prowl get hungry, but God seekers are full of God. Come, children, listen closely. I'll give you a lesson in God worship. Who out there has a lust for life? Can't wait for each day to come upon beauty? Guard your tongue from profanity and no more lying through your teeth. Turn your back on sin and do something good. Embrace peace. Don't let it get away. God keeps an eye on God's friends. God's ears pick up every moan and groan. God won't put up with rebels. God will call them from the pack. Is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, God will help you catch your breath. Disciples so often get into trouble. Still, God is there. Every time. God is your bodyguard, shielding every bone. Not even a finger gets broken. The wicked commit slow suicide. They waste their lives hating the good. God pays for each slave's freedom. No one who runs to God loses out.
Amen. May your ear be blessed by that reading as well as your hearing. It is God's holy word. Well, the year was 1620, and more than 100 people were crowded aboard a small ship named the Mayflower. Having spent more than 2 months crossing the Atlantic, their destination was the Virginia colony, where they hoped to find a better life than they had in England. Some sought wealth and the art adventure, while others simply sought freedom to worship as they pleased. At last, land was sighted. The ship sailed around a sandy cape into a large bay, but something was wrong. It was not the Virginia colony. They were too far north. By accident, the Pilgrims had reached Massachusetts instead of Virginia. The religious problems that brought the Pilgrims to the New World had been building a very long time. Almost a century earlier, King Henry VIII had broken from the Roman Catholic Church to establish the Church of England. Yet many felt he had gone too far, or that he hadn't gone far enough with reform, and believed that the Church of England was still too much like the Catholic Church. They didn't approve of what they perceived as showy rituals or of church government. So because they wanted to purify the church, they were called Puritans. They believed each group of worshipers should be free to choose their own minister. To everyone was equal before God, and that reading the Bible and obeying the Ten Commandments were the foundations of faith. Puritans, hoping to reform the Church of England, yet others who didn't believe it would ever change, formed a separate congregation and called themselves Separatists, who were determined to find freedom of worship, to worship God in their own way. They suffered courageously under British rule until the early 1600s, when King James I ordered all Separatists arrested, jailed, and put to death. So they had two choices: conform to the king's religion or leave England. And those who left were known as Pilgrims because they made so many moves searching for religious tolerance. On September 6, 1620, a small, heavily laden ship set sail. And after 66 dangerous days filled with storms, near shipwreck, illness, terror, and much prayer, the Mayflower dropped anchor in Providence Harbor, Providencetown Harbor, Cape Cod, Massachusetts. It was November 21st. For a month, they used the ship as a base while they explored the coast and finally chose Plymouth for their settlement. It had a brook with good drinking water, a hill where they could build a fort and farm fields. A Native American village, once located there, had been wiped out by smallpox, leaving the farmlands they had cleared ready for planting. The first winter, though, was a harsh one. The cold and the snow, combined with scurvy and a dwindling food supply, reduced the colony's population from 102 to 51. Spring and planting time, however, brought hope. One day, a brave entered the settlement. His first words, introducing himself and welcoming them, were in English. This stunned and delighted the winter-weary, discouraged settlers. His name was Samoset, and he'd learned English from fur traders and sailors. He told them all about the countryside and other tribes in the area, assuring them that they were all friendly, so they had nothing to fear. A few days later, Samoset brought another brave, Squanto, to meet the Pilgrims. Squanto was a member of the tribe that had lived at Plymouth. He became their friend and taught them how to catch fish and eels, plant corn, pumpkins, and beans, use fish for fertilizer, and where to find herbs in the forest. He showed them which wild plants were good to eat and which made useful medicines. He taught them many valuable lessons about their new home, and they believed he was a special instrument of God sent for their good. Through Squanto, The pilgrims met the great chief Massasoit and made another treaty with his and made a treaty with his tribe, in which each side pledged to cause no harm to the other and to defend each other against all enemies. The pilgrims devoted the spring and summer of 1621 to planting, tending crops, hunting, trading with the native peoples, and making their settlement more comfortable and secure. By summer's end, the village had a sturdy common house for meetings and worship, some storehouses, and several wooden homes along a single street. When the first plentiful harvest was reaped that autumn, the pilgrim leaders met. "It's harvest time in England now," said Edward Winslow. "The farmers have stored all their crops, will have stored all their crops, and soon the harvest home festival will begin." "Oh, yes, indeed," said Stephen Hopkins. "Wouldn't it be a fine idea to have a merry festival here as well?" Governor Bradford listened, but was always mindful of God first. "The Lord has been good to us. Don't you think we should have a day of prayer and thanksgiving instead?" "You mean a day of giving thanks instead of a festival?" both Winslow and Hopkins asked at the same time. "Perhaps," said the governor. "Oh, no, sir," Hopkins replied hastily. "Winslow and I do favor a feast. We spend no time making merry. Feasting and recreation would be good for our village spirit." Governor Bradford thought silently for a moment. "Yes," he agreed. "Our villagers have reason enough for a joyous celebration. Now that we've gathered a good harvest, we feel more confident we can survive in this new land. Yet we shall be sure to give bountiful thanks to God for all of our blessings. Go tell everyone. We'll prepare a goodly feast, perhaps one that lasts as long as 3 days, and extend an invitation to our native friends to join us in this feasting." And then he sent Edward Winslow, Isaac Allerton, and two others on a fowling, declaring they should return with no less than turkey, duck, and geese. He ordered Miles Standish to take other men and women and launch the shallop, "Catch a goodly amount of cod and bass and perhaps an eel or two," he said. Then he told Mistress Hopkins, Goodwife Billington, Mistress Brewer, and Mistress Winslow to prepare the food. They were the only married ladies who survived the general sickness and were skilled in the art of cookery. They spent days making puddings and cornbread and cakes, as well as preparing vegetables, fruits, and beverages. On the morning of the feast, the pilgrims were surprised to see Massasoit arrive with 90 of his tribe. When he realized the pilgrims might not have enough food, he sent some hunters into the forest, who returned with 5 deer and several wild turkeys. When time came to partake of the food, Elder Brewster, the minister, said a heartfelt prayer of thanksgiving for God, to God for homes, food, and safety in a new land. Even though they had endured untold hardships, they still found helpful friends, built 11 buildings, started in the fur trade, and stored up a bountiful harvest for their second winter. The Native American peoples must have understood the prayer, because they had a Thanksgiving prayer of their own. They gave thanks to God, who made the trees and corn grow and all kinds of fruits flourish. During the meal, they shared with one another all the blessings God had given during the past year. Susanna Winslow, separatist, wife and mother of two, declared, just read there.
Thank you.
Isaac Allerton, separatist, widower, and father of two, replied, John Alden, stranger rather than separatist, spoke.
I was in the search party and stumbled upon a hill of sand under which was a gray basket, bulls with red, with bear kernels and gave bread. After giving the matter careful consideration, we filled the kettle with the kernels and took it aboard the main world. We planned to pay the Native American peoples for their corn when we had last met up.
Peter Brown, single and also a stranger, commented.
Thank you, God. Found fields already cleared. Imagine the hours of labor would have taken to cut the trees down, pull out the stumps, and carry the rock. We wouldn't have been able to plant a single seed until late summer, and that would have done us hardly any good. Cleared fields assured us of good labor parts.
George Soule, widower and stranger, remarked, God be praised. We had the strength to build several houses in a very short time. Despite rain, cold, and sickness, we did hammer, saw, and thatch. It was a fine decision, each family to build their own house. That way, we worked more hastily than if we'd helped our fellow villagers as well. Elizabeth Hopkins, wife and mother of four, expressed,
praise God, my family is alive and survived the general sickness. When my dear husband fell ill, along with three or four others a day, I almost gave up hope. Some days there were but one or two to care for the others in their retching and fever, and yes, even death. Yet God, in God's infinite love, took only half of our people. God left the rest of us as instruments for God's work in this new England.
Miles Standish, single and stranger, shared.
I'll never forget that old March day when a native came to sunset. Suddenly appeared on our street. We were all taken by surprise, and I didn't even have time to grab my mustache. Yet he greeted us with, welcome, English people. We invited him to stay one night and finally learned they were planned and cleared, unplanned.
Mary Brewster, separatist wife and mother of two, said, Governor Bradford, separatist and widower, reminded,
praise be to God who made a treaty of peace with the Native peoples. It was only a few days after sunset visit. He brought Swanto and Musasat, chief of the great Mopon nation, to meet us. It was good. After some talk and socializing, John Carver, our first governor, put quill to paper and signed an agreement of amity and good faith. Musasat Station controls many tribes.
Eleanor Billington, wife and mother of two and a stranger, exclaimed,
I rejoice in having fellowship with our native neighbors. We've learned so many important things from them. They are very trustworthy and right-witted.
And Richard Warren, husband, father of five and a stranger, announced, so for 3 days, They ate, drank, sang, danced, ran races, played games, and held shooting contests. Despite the fact they had suffered much hardship, leaving homes, families, friends, and belongings in England, entering a new world with barely enough food to eat, enduring sickness, cold, and uncertainty, even burying many family members and friends, they still thanked and praised God for all that God had given them. What remarkable lessons they've given us. In our modern world, we tend to become easily depressed or disheartened or discouraged when God seems far away or too busy to hear our prayers or uncaring about our needs. So many times, sickness and death seem to jar our hope and faith and trust in God. Those pilgrims certainly endured more in a year's time than many of us do in a lifetime. Yet they chose to fill their hearts and minds and lives to God in thanksgiving for all of God's goodness and love, care, and protection. They never forgot their hard times, and they knew there would be difficult times to come. Yet they realized they had so much for which to be thankful. God had given them so many gifts: the comfort of sighting land, the assurance they had nothing to fear, provisions of needed food and cleared fields, the strength to build homes and community buildings, renewed health after much sickness, help from Samoset and Squanto, lessons in planting and fishing and medicine, a treaty of peace and warm fellowship, abundant food, homes, and warm fires. The native people with their friends were their friends, and they were free in this new land to work, make their homes, and worship God in their own way. They wanted for nothing. What an example and a legacy they've given us, especially their recognition of God as the source of all their blessings. That first Thanksgiving, they joined their hearts and voices in one accord to sing that hymn they brought with them to the new world. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God, ye heavenly host. Praise Creator, Son, and Holy Ghost. Today, as we reflect upon all the trials and hardships the pilgrims endured, and we see how they always thanked God for every blessing, we can draw inspiration for our lives as individuals and also for the life of our congregation. No matter what we've endured, we can know if God leads us to it, God will bring us through it as long as we continue to acknowledge God as the source of all our blessings. And all of God's people were in agreement and said, Amen. Our song of prayer is, We Praise You, O God. So let us sing that together, number 420.